AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
We on the motherfucking Bootleg Kev podcast. We on the motherfucking Bootleg Kev podcast.
Hey, that's right, bitch. We on the Bootleg Kev podcast. I do not mean that in a derogatory way. I appreciate all human beings. I just like to say the word bitch sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, welcome. We got a cool episode today. Want to give a big shout out to Guapdad 4000. Guapdad is one of the most eclectic, hilarious, talented young dudes in hip hop, and he is on the podcast today, and we have a fucking doozy for you. I mean, this was like an hour and a half banger. How long was the episode? It was like a buck 20, just talking some crazy shit. This is probably one of my favorite ones we've done in a while. All about, you know, we talk about Guapdad pimping. We talk about all kinds of ill shit, man. If you might have heard of him, he was on the Dreamville Revenge of the Dreamers project. Part 3, right? That was part 3 that got nominated for the Grammy? Yeah, so Revenge of the Dreamers 3, which was nominated for a Grammy. He's been doing his thing for a while out the Bay Area, so we're going to be talking with him. If you have no idea who the fuck Guapdad is, please just keep listening and enjoy the conversation we have, and then you'll be a fan by the end of the interview. Or you'll think he's a piece of shit. One of those two things might happen. To be fair, we got a shout out to our sponsors though, man. Big ups to Odd Socks. Make sure you go to oddsocksofficial.com and use the keyword Bootleg Kev for 20% off. That's 20% off at oddsocksofficial.com. Keyword Bootleg Kev. Save some money and get some fly fucking shit. All right. They got the socks. They got the fucking draws. They got the masks. They got Hulk Hogan slippers, fam. WWE license. All kinds of movies. Mike Tyson, ODB, pimps. Mac Dre. Oh, no more Mac Dre socks for you, Nico Blitz. They're all out. Damn, son. Damn. Anyway, go to oddsocksofficial.com. Keyword, Bootleg Kev, save 20% off. And while you're at it, go check out our other sponsor. Go to vapingcbd.com. Keyword, Bootleg Kev, save 20% off of all your vaping products. I'm talking really like, what are you into? You need some lotion? You need, you know, maybe a little something to help put you to sleep? You know what I'm saying? Maybe a little cart? You know, maybe you're trying to just, you know, just participate in some of that CBD goodness. Go to vapingcbd.com. Use the keyword Bootleg Kev. Save 20% off. Let's get into this Guapdad 4000 episode right now. Bootleg Kev podcast with Guapdad 4000. Not to be confused with Guapdaddy 4000.
Yes, please don't confuse
me. Don't ever call him that. We just did a prank on you with the Nelk boys. And it almost went left.
Yeah. I'm happy it didn't.
Well, look, it ended up working out well. It was very funny.
Yeah,
shout out to Jesse and those guys. When we were actually like trying to record the interview, the fake interview, we were talking about show everybody your nails. You got the fucking clear polish on them things.
Yeah,
and nails shining. Get How often do you get your nails done?
Man, you got to do maintenance on the coochie grippers at least once a week, every 2 weeks.
The coochie grippers. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
The coochie caressers.
The consensual coochie grippers.
Every time.
Every time. Got to be, right?
Every time.
100%. Yeah, that's. I think more dudes should get their nails done.
Yeah, niggas be sleeping.
I think people just.
It's just laziness. And it's just, honestly, I was raised to go to the nail shop.
You were like, raised that way?
Yeah, my dad and my mama fuck with it.
Just,
tough.
Just going
they
in.
Always have, so they would always bring me. I've been going.
Which side of your family is the Filipino side?
It's always the mama side.
The mom side, yeah.
Yeah, it's always the mama side.
Right. Like who's the Filipino dude bagging, like, you know, a bad lovely, you know, sister from Oakland?
It's maybe in the Bay.
Like maybe Pilo, right? Like maybe Pilo.
Oh, for sure, Pilo.
Like maybe.
Yeah, he getting them.
Definitely not Nico.
Definitely not Nico. He can't even get the third camera working.
Yeah, he's let alone
the leg.
Worst fucking producer ever.
I'm just playing Nico. I love you.
Yo, so, you know, you're embracing the Filipino side. You're doing an album with 88 Rising. And, mm-hmm. and you know, you were telling me you did like the virtual festival.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. It was super tight. We wanted to bring this album to 88 Rising because of the Filipino aspect and kind of like the next step aspect. I feel like I love a lot of their narrative content and a lot of their story-based stuff, their documentary stuff.
And their videos are crazy.
It's just amazing. And I already got crazy videos, so it's tight for me to connect with them with a team that I already came up with. It's Chris Simmons and the people that we use on our shoots and be competing and swinging at the same level.
Yeah,
some of that stuff that
you were saying earlier that like Pinch was like the common denominator to kind of, you know, maybe connect you guys a bit.
It was a lot of things, but that was like the first one because he was performing at their festival,
mm-hmm.
the Head in the Clouds thing, and I was in his trailer navigating, meeting people, right. And I ran into Bryant. We met physically for the first time then. We had already had mutual people just because of Duckworth and the homie Drew Banger from the Bay.
You, it's crazy because I told this to Brian, like, what was that album he put out, Nico, a couple years ago? Sailor? Yeah, that shit was crazy. But I feel like he, like, kind of, like, really improved as a fucking rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, heavily. Like, no, he's dope.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've always been dope as a rapper, but I feel like people haven't seen you in that light. And I feel like, you know, obviously the Dreamville thing helped, but I also feel like the quarantine bars, like, you rapping on Instagram every
Oh, yeah, Rona
fucking,
Raps.
The Rona Raps, whatever mm-hmm. you were doing, was fucking... is dope because I think it, like, first of all, perfect bit to do for, you know, the pandemic, especially because you were doing that shit early.
Yeah.
Like right off the rip. But I also think it kind of just showcased your capabilities as an MC.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a lot of love? Like
hella love. I got all the love I feel like I was supposed to get, or that I could merit at the time from that. I do still wish that I could have did more episodes, but it just was so hard to manage after a certain point, just like hounding niggas down to rap in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as the world started opening up where we thought it was, the Rona Raps was done.
Yeah, you were like early, like when we was really like hunkered down at the crib watching Tiger King.
We figured that shit out a week into me being home. It was Sam's idea.
Nice.
Sam brought it up because I told him we were trying to plan content. And I told him I wanted to do freestyles and shit. So he was like, you might as well freestyle with your partner's dad home too.
Yep. It was like Joey Badass was on there.
Mm-hmm.
Wiz,
Chris Brown, Buddy, Currency, Earth Gang, MERS.
Was there someone Chris who like Brown. Sent you their rap and you were like, fuck, Mike, he bothered me this week?
Currency.
Spit is another legend.
Currency went so, did so tight for one that he cut time off the end of his verse, sent it again. He was like, I rapped too long the first time because this nigga just caught a body while he was playing with his Hot Wheels in his closet and started freestyling.
That's some real Currency shit.
Yeah, Currency's original verse for Rona Raps that he sent me was like 3 minutes long.
Oh, shit.
No, he rapped forever. And I was like, I mean, it's too long for us to post up. I know I was telling people there is no limit, but Currency really like.
So it's like some of the people who did the Rona Raps, like some of those people you don't have music with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming you're fans of them. Like,
yeah,
I mean, to my knowledge, you and Currency don't have music.
No, we do.
You do? Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Currency did a project with DJ Fresh. Shout out DJ Fresh from the Bay. And I was featured on there. I got a song called Easy Hard with Currency. It's actually one of my best guest verses. Yeah.
If you know Spit is on it, you got to come with your shit.
Oh, for sure. I skated on that, bitch. I skated, floated. I love that verse. And the fans love it, too. Like, people really enjoy that song.
Talk about the title of the upcoming album and why it is, like, give us the background of the title.
It's called 1176, and that is the address of the house that I grew up in Oakland. I know a lot of people have attachments. Like, if we look at all the album covers, a lot of people have attachments to, like, their childhood homes.
Yeah, yeah.
And baby pictures and shit. So this is my version of that, but in
personal
way,
project.
Yeah, a way more, you know, all the way me way. It's like my full narrative, and I feel like I really wanted to get this off my chest so I can move past it creatively, just about talking about my origins, because that's what the album is, really. It's an origin story for me, where I'm able to talk about certain things that hurt me, certain things that helped me, certain things that got me lit. Just my whole lifestyle before I moved to LA.
Do you think, because you're known for, I would say, like, people know you as a personality, as a character, right? They know you to be fucking hilarious, the scammer shit, all that. Does that ever hurt you as an artist, like, having... Have you ever, like, ran into issues where you feel like people didn't take you serious because they look at you more as, like, the funny-ass dude? Has that ever been something you've noticed happening?
Yeah. I mean, people have done that all my life. It's just like it that way. When you look the way I do and you carry yourself the way I do, I'm always in between worlds.
Yeah.
Like, I always been the kind of creative, eclectic kid. At the same time, I'm from Oakland. You seen how I was finna do blood. Like, it's really a duality that come with my existence, and that's part of the fault of people not being fully tapped in with that. So I don't blame them. I'm not mad at it. It was a time when that was frustrating, but that didn't last too long.
Right. You know, I feel like too, just like the last couple of years, some of the looks and, like, people who have co-signed you, and, you know, I feel like that probably alleviated some of that as well.
Honestly, the Dreamville shit, to keep it 100.
That
was like my last chip on my shoulder where I went there trying to like prove that.
You belong.
I belong, and I am one of the best niggas that it can make a song that y'all can invite.
Right.
And after that, and then we went to the Grammys and that whole shit, I started moving different creatively. Still, I'm learning how to scale back certain aspects of just like being hella good to make the overall experience of the song more enjoyable, because sometimes you got to pull punches, you know.
Of course.
But like, that comes with time. So I'm not mad at people for trying to. It's human nature to look at this as an ashtray and not as a cup holder. You know what I'm saying?
But it could be a cup holder.
It could. I could have put my. I actually want to move this cup because it's empty and it looks ghetto.
You know, we could just get rid of it. See if Nico can dispose of a cup. He can't get a third camera working, but, you know. See if he can fucking throw away a cup.
We finna roast Nico about that third camera this whole podcast.
Like, with the Dreamville thing, who from Dreamville? Was it Ebe? Was it, like, who was it that originally, like, tapped in with you to become a part of the Revenge of the Dreamer sessions?
Shit, Cole.
It was Cole.
Yeah, that was the original thing. I met Cole at the Nice Guy. Leaving Drake's New Year's thing, and he was like, "Yo, take my number down before you leave," and I texted him immediately, and he texted me back.
Right, everyone says that, and then you hit
it was so crazy to me. Right, I was like, I tell that story every time because nobody's ever done that.
Right,
nobody,
especially Jake.
Even people who I'm closer friends with now, like Bryson. When I met Bryson, it took him a minute to text me back, and I'm hella cool. I'm closer to Bryson than I am Cole, but. That just, when he texted me back like that, I was like, damn, I fuck with that. I hella fuck with that. And the homie Ryan at the time, who I was fucking around with from a previous label situation, shout out Fly Rye, was also in and around the Dreamville camp. So we had Cole bringing me up. Rye like, oh, no, I know that nigga. No, just come on. And then it just kind of fell into place.
It worked out beautifully. You got a Grammy nomination.
Right?
Shit.
That's forever.
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 Forever, ever.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Beautiful.
You know, the other thing too that I wanted to talk to you about, because with the pandemic, you know, you kind of came into the game kind of being known as a scammer.
Mm-hmm.
Make, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And kind of. Yeah. That was a thing.
That was a thing, yeah, for sure.
It's still a part of me. Like, I'm revealing chapters of myself as they come and as I figure out how to express them creatively.
Mm.
You know, so at first I came out, it was the internet thing. That's what I was on. I was fucking trying not to scam, and I'm just an internet baby at heart. So that's what people see me as. And it was a rapper, because I really want to be one of the fucking tightest niggas that was barred up. So that's what niggas were seeing from me. And now I'm kind of opening up the full envelope to just,
facts,
you know,
just making good timeless shit.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering with you know, with the pandemic, the fucking EDD shit is booming.
Mm-hmm.
Booming. Mm-hmm. Like, I got friends of mine that like have made like six figures during the pandemic off of the EDD shit. And I'm mm-hmm. like afraid for them, because I'm like, dude, you guys are kind of turning up a little bit much.
Yeah.
Like, would there be any sort of advice you'd give to anybody who's watching this that might be dabbling in that? Because, you know, it's definitely, it seems like it's very easy
to get hit a lick off that shit right now. They're all scams is, I mean, for what's available to the urban community that is a part of the market share of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
All those available or like ready available are all relatively pretty easy. When it comes to the EDD and any type of current scams, I don't know anything about none of that shit. But if I had to give advice to somebody, it would be stay off Instagram.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. People be flossing their shit. Like, you saw the guy who shot the music video.
Oh, I don't like to slander niggas.
Right.
But he was an absolute idiot.
The worst.
He was probably one of the dumbest niggas that we've ever seen, ever, who could do that. Like, that's, I look at him the same way some nigga in the Bay just killed two girls and went live on Instagram.
I saw that.
You seen that?
Yeah, some rapper sister.
He's the same type of nigga. He's just, his song was catchy. But that's the same thing. This is a crime, dog.
Yeah. And you just snitched on yourself.
And you just snitched on yourself.
For the clout.
In the act, when the lick is hot, and told him where you was at? This nigga was on Rodeo, and he was still there.
Showing the envelopes and shit.
Yeah, like, what the some people are just stupid. But, I mean, that's Darwinism, though.
Was that, you know, obviously that guy did that for clicks, for clout.
It was clickbait.
And I feel like when you first came out, I feel like that, like, when people first kind of became hip to you, I feel like that was the peak of the internet shit dictating who was getting signed. You know, that was like, it was almost like this battle between, like, does the music even fucking matter anymore? Or is it the antics? Because motherfucking, like, you know, IG comedians were getting record deals and shit, and the music was not good. You kind of, I feel like, were like a perfect mixture of like both worlds, because you kind of figured out how to be like funny on the internet, but your shit was dope.
Yeah.
But was that ever like something like, because I feel like to be a dope MC and to try to make it in that world and to not have personality, which you obviously have, it had to have been frustrating. But, you know, obviously you had both sides covered. But that era, I would say like 2016, 2017, early 2018, like it just was, I feel like it was like a dark era for music, for like the industry.
It definitely was. It was a dark era for creativity as a whole. We were coming out of the SoundCloud era,
mm-hmm.
and all of the champions from this whole new fucking subgenre that just went crazy and blew up and inspired all the youth passed away.
Yep.
That's depressing as fuck for everybody that is supposed to be like the young foundation moving into the next generation in terms of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
They were all devastated and had nothing to be inspired on. Which is why I feel like a lot of the females in the game is getting their opportunity now, because it was such a wide open window. You know what I'm saying? Somebody like Megan came in, who understood the internet, who was going viral, who did all the fucking anime weeaboo shit,
mm-hmm.
but then also had the music. Of course, people latched onto that shit. It was just, it was so good. So I think that's tight, because I honestly think women in rap are like shitting on the niggas right now.
I think
now.
It's like, I think we're like in the middle of like the female rapper renaissance. Like, well, like, yeah, this is like the, like, we're going to look back like the last 2 or 3 years and be like, yo, that it was so popping.
Yeah.
You had Cardi and Sweetie and you had Rhapsody. Yeah, you had all of these. It we've never seen it, you know? Like, forever it was just Nicki.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
And she was the only one.
Yeah, and before that, it was like Foxy, and you know, I mean, there was a, you know, the 90s, you know, it was the Brad, Foxy, Missy, yeah, but like for like 12 years, it was just Nicki Minaj. And then, you know, I remember she, I think she won the BET Female Rapper of the Year award like 9 years straight or some shit.
She was the only one.
She was the only one.
Who else was for the campaign? But she was also, but my thing is though, because I just had a debate with somebody about this, just because she was the only one, though, don't take away from how much of a legend she was, because that's what a lot of people like to say.
I think she's the greatest of all time, female-wise.
Same.
I don't even think there's a discussion. I think you could say Lauryn Hill based off of the score and Miseducation, but as far as, like...
I think Lauryn Hill's a more...
complete artist?
Like, all around.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because she could obviously...
We're talking about MC, like, Nicki, like... barred out Hove or Monster.
Do people actually imagine Lauryn Hill out rapping Nicki Minaj on something though? Like, I think she could make a better song, right, relatively.
Probably a better album.
Yeah, but like, can she out rap Nicki Minaj?
I would say, like, yo, just listen to Monster. Like, Nicki destroyed peak Ross, peak Hove, peak Kanye.
Bruh, I'm an Oakland nigga, so I come from I'm a Function baby.
Mm-hmm.
In the Function, if Nicki Minaj remixed a song, I don't give a fuck whose song it was. Wayne, Jay-Z,
and when she did, remember when she did the Dunk remix, the Soulja Boy shit?
Yeah.
That shit was popping.
I was on a plane with Dwayne. Oh, I know the verse. That shit was trust hard. Me.
Yeah, Nicki's the GOAT.
Yeah, she the GOAT. She the GOAT.
I think she just became a little bit unlikable.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I just don't think the Cardi thing helped her, because Cardi was so likable. So it makes people think, like, forget, like, history almost. Like, hey, like, mm-hmm, yeah, Cardi's hot and she's much more likable than Nicki. But, like, you can't just erase a decade of dominance from, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
think that's a problem that a lot of OGs face in the game is the Jay-Z quote, will you live long enough to see yourself become a villain? You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain. And I think that's just an inevitable in rap. Look at everybody who we used to champion that. Even I call myself roasting sometimes, but I don't actually mean, but like, nigga that talk shit amongst friends, right. You know what I'm saying? Like Eminem, Ludacris, all these people who had all this type of success, but like, just when people get old, bro, they just aren't cool as they used to be. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it go. That's life. I'm less cool.
Definitely,
than
I definitely feel like that happened with M. I feel like the album he dropped last year was his best album in like 10 years. But I feel like there was just a block of Eminem's career the last decade where we were just like, nobody want to hear this shit. But he's still rapping at a superior level.
Yeah, no,
and he's a fucking all time great. I just don't think the music. Just, I don't know, some of the shit he was putting out. Like, you know, you could like look at some artists like Royce the 5'9", who's as old as M, has been putting out dope music.
Hey, and in my opinion, as just a fan of everything that I've heard from Royce that I chose to listen to, because I'm not like a super
right
Royce head or anything, but like, I feel like lyrically he on the same dojo level as Eminem.
100%. 100%.
You can't play me a song to prove me wrong about it.
No, you're right about that. Royce is a GOAT, bro. He's one of the most slept on dudes ever.
Yeah. Shout out to Royce. He got a lot of love for the town, too. He showed Oakland a lot of love. And you know, because Detroit and Oakland got that kind of synergy.
What is the synergy? Because there is a synergy between Detroit and Oakland. What is it exactly?
You know, it's deeper rooted into the history of music, the car business, and travel, about why we got the Bay Area, got this direct connection to Motor City, you know what I'm saying? But aside from that, and like just the history of business and infrastructure, we just really align our personal values the same way that niggas from Detroit do. Like the same way they talk to women In the same way they like to go put on Cartiers and have sideshows, like, we either started it and showed it to them, or, and they started stuff and showed it to us. It's always been this cultural exchange of just really regionally specific habits that we share with Detroit.
Yeah, I had that conversation. You know, Empire has a bunch of Detroit artists.
Yeah,
and it's like Gazi was like, "Yo, there's a connection."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Yo, there is." Like, when you really think about it.
Yeah, no.
Just the energy is very. It just
all the
similar
beats that them niggas is on. It sound real similar. And when they started coming into like the internet underground area of like listener, and really start having their moments, then Oakland start taking from the beats that they was on.
There's
it
even
was,
like
it two, was always a back and forth.
If you think about Oakland too, like or the Bay, historically there's been like two sides of the music game.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the 90s there was like the RBO Posse 40, Too Short, Mac Dre shit, but then on the other side it was like Hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
And like a lot of backpack shit. And Detroit's the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit's like the hardcore street shit, or there's J Dilla and Slum Village and Royce, and you know, it's two separate sides of the coin, sonically for both cities. We were talking about female rappers earlier. Who's like a female MC who obviously Nicki aside, but like who's somebody who you want to tap in with?
Tierra Whack.
Tierra Whack's fire.
Yeah.
She's from Philly,
favorites.
Right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, she's fire.
I believe so. We've only met once, and it was all love. I be fanning out. I don't even hide it. When I really be fanning somebody, I gotta let them know. So I met her at the homie Amber's birthday. Shout out Amber. And it was hella cool. I really just wanted to be like, please get in the studio with me. But I tried to be cool. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a big fan, man.
When's the last time you fanned out with somebody?
I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like it was a time recently where it happened. Who have I met recently? Or Short.
Too Short.
I was in Oakland with Too Short and two bitches eating some fried fish at a place in Alameda.
It was a double date?
No, I mean
something like
it was
that?
Really like Too Short and two hoes, and I was there
and you
too.
Were there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you were the third wheel in the four leg situation there.
Oh, but trust me, I got that third wheel rolling though real fast.
That is like that. There's something to be said that like you're hanging out with Too Short. Of course, he'd have two bitches. Like that doesn't disappoint. Like, yeah, you know, this is right on brand,
bro. So we're like three slush margaritas down. It's starting to beat my ass. So I'm like trying to take it slow. I'm eating hell of the fucking fish. I flip it over. That's how much of the fish I'm eating.
Yeah.
And he looked at me. He said, "Yeah, I'm with this nigga right now." I'm like, what? Because he been on FaceTime this whole time. I just been entertaining the hoes. And he turned the phone and he put me on FaceTime. It's him, E-40, Ice Cube, and Snoop Dogg. And then he just take his AirPods out, hand it to me, and I don't know nothing about what they been talking about or nothing. And then and 40 going hard, talking about what's up. He's showing me love. Snoop instantly was like, "What's up, Neff?" Like,
was Ice Cube? Ice Cube was like, "Who is this guy?"
Hella fucking menacing, but he was showing me love at the same time. But he was so sick. He was literally like this. He was like, "Yeah, no, Short was telling us." Mm-hmm. Nah, I see. I never heard of you, but I'm finna check you out because Snoop said you creative. And I was like, "Oh no, you know I be making content shit." Mr. Cube.
I'll be in the next Friday. I heard Chris Tucker doesn't want to be in it.
I'll be acting and shit. And then Snoop and Short was like, "Man, you should direct the whole video." I was like, "If y'all give me a song to do it, I'll do it.
For sure. Do
yeah,
it for free.
Yeah, I'll do it. Please let me do it." But that was probably my last starstruck moment for sure. With
that FaceTime's crazy.
It was tight too, because it was really christening me. Like, nah, if Short is giving you the okay, Snoop already did it, 40 partially did it. Now, all right, Cube's on board. We fucking with you.
That
meant a lot to me.
How disappointed would you be if when you went to hang out with Too Short, he introduced you to his wife that he's been with for like 20 years? and like two small children of his. And he was like, hey, this is my wife.
Yeah.
These are my kids. Let's go to Applebee's. Yeah. Like, wouldn't that be a little disappointing?
And it's like a white lady with a bob cut.
Yeah. Like, she's like, hi, you're Guap Daddy?
Yeah.
What's this falcon about?
Like, yeah. What? The type of lady who wear like my son is my king shirts.
I saw Sugar Free in Vegas with two bitches on leashes.
Of course.
And I was like, this is why I run into Sugar Free at Planet Hollywood, walking through the fucking mall with fucking two females on leashes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yeah.
I'm glad to know Sugar Free still going strong.
I'm glad to know that
pimping is eternal.
It is eternal.
It will never die.
Like, he ain't like if I'd have saw Sugar Free walking through Planet Hollywood holding hands with a female, I'd have been like,
damn.
I still would have been like,
fell off, free, living off the bitch.
That's why what you I holding hands, bro?
Yeah,
on leashes. Can you imagine, like, the white people walking by who had no idea who this guy was? It was hilarious. Were you a Sugar Free fan?
Mm-hmm.
Sugar Free is like an acquired taste.
I fucked with all of the flavor rap. Like, we had one Sugar Free song on a CD, and that's how I knew who Sugar Free was.
Before. When you like would make the Napster mix CDs and shit back in the day,
it was the one where he's beating on a table. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, it was that song. So we listened to that shit over. We had that and Get Stupid. This was how I first heard the song Get Stupid was on that CD. That was it.
Who made the CD? Who
My little cousin Sonny Bo.
He just burned some
It was
shit.
His CD. I think he took it from somebody, his older brother.
I miss the days where we'd like just get random CDs in your car. You'd be like, what's this? And yeah, it's like fucking 12 new songs you never heard of. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
It was tight. That's how I learned about Sugar Free. Was a fan ever since. As soon as I heard, I'd rather give you my bitch tonight. I said, oh man, that's dedication to the paper. If I ever seen it, you could take my old bitch, man. Just don't take my weed or my money. Take the bitch, please. Have her.
That's great.
I said, ooh, we.
Yo, how much was Lil B in the bass shit? Obviously, even before that. You know, I always say that the pack really influenced LA sound.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Because it was I feel like the pack.
And the fashion.
Well, I feel like the pack was doing a lot of like what ended up being Mustard Sound first.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to League of Stars and those guys. But I always thought sonically the pack was doing that shit first. But then, you know, Lil B had his run where he was putting out a trillion mixtapes and just kind of became this fucking cult figure.
Yeah.
How big of an influence was, like, you know, I'm sure that shit hit different in the Bay. Like, I was living in Vegas when the cooking and all that shit was going on,
mm-hmm.
and the shit was big there with the kids. But
yeah.
I can only imagine in the Bay where.
I mean, to me, it was so big, it felt already like legendary. It felt like it just felt like Lil B was this intangible, unreachable entity that did and said whatever he wanted to say. As an internet baby from the Bay, I loved it. I praised it. I still do. I think Lil B is, till this day, one of the most influential rappers in hip-hop ever. Every top 100 list needs to have Lil B on it. I don't give a fuck if he 100. But, like, his impact had generational ripples.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as Chief Keef. The way people give Chief Keef that praise, Lil B right there.
Yeah, I feel like Lil B was like the first, you know, if you think about the era we were just talking about, like that 2016, I feel like Lil, like all of them kids took from like Lil B, Riff Raff, like there was like that whole, like those internet figures that were just doing crazy shit. It wasn't as much about the music as it was about the person and doing, the antics. Yeah.
That was before the antics became doing things to yourself.
True.
You know what I'm saying? That was just doing
things. It was just like, yo, look at this dude. All these motherfuckers are telling him they could fuck his, like, you could fuck my bitch, bass god.
That's when it was real. Like, back when Riff Raff, who I also take influence from, and me and Riff have had conversations about it. Love Riff Raff.
He's hilarious. If he would have came out 5-6 years later, he'd be so much bigger, bro.
He'd be the number one nigga.
He's fucking hilarious.
He was like the crossover into when people started doing shit to themselves. And by that, I mean like
he
the
dyed TV hair, and all that.
The tattoos.
Yeah, he had a fucking world star. He pioneered
that for real.
Definitely.
For real. And people don't bring that shit up. Now, what I say, it went as far as like a Lil B or Chief Keef in terms of influence.
Of course not. Nope.
But he was definitely on the forefront for that.
He was doing it a lot of.
I'm a fan of all of them niggas, man. I fucked with all of it.
The Riff Raff shit. There was a record he did with Action Bronson called "Bird on a Wire" that Harry Fraud produced. That was like, I heard, oh, this shit is fire.
Yeah. It came. I also liked the one he did with Mustard. We were slapping.
Yep.
How to Be a Boss or How to Be Something.
How to Be the Man.
Yeah, How to Be a Man.
I just loved his videos where he would just go on rants and talk about like middle of my, like I got this lamp from Brazil. Like ain't no middle of the mall shit.
And you want to know, I always liked that. I always been attracted to that because Mac Dre does that. Too Short does that. Another influence of mine, Dom Kennedy, does it all the
shout
fucking
out to
time.
Dom, yeah.
Where niggas just start talking about their life.
Yep.
Black gold, Black Globe sitting on a cherry wood desk.
Yeah, I got this shit from Bermuda. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's hella clean to me.
Yeah. No, that's some real shit. Who all's on your album, man?
It is just the homies. It's just people who care about me and love me. I do got a lot of homies, so I got to be more specific. BJ the Chicago Kid's on there.
Legend.
The homie Tish Hyman is on there. The fellow Baydestrian and Filipino Pilo is on there.
Only right.
And Buddy is on there.
Buddy's fucking another just legend. And I feel that, like Buddy don't get enough love.
He don't. And that's why I'm making sure that
Buddy's one of the most.
I like to keep him as one of my honest to true God friends who like goes out his way to check up on me and my mental health.
I believe one night I was DJing in Hollywood at Playhouse and you, Buddy, and AD rolled up randomly.
It was my birthday.
Yeah.
That was my birthday when I poured the champagne on them hoes in the front.
And I remember just like, I forget what Buddy record had just dropped, but it definitely wasn't the song to play at Playhouse.
Mm-mm.
But I ran that shit.
Yeah, you ran. We went up. It was tight. That was my first... my first like live birthday out here, because my first birthday where I was living out here, I went back to the Bay. It's kind of somber. I was like making this transition. So I've been out here a year and I was like, fuck it, man. I know all these clubs that want to just give me the fucking rapper table on the side.
Yeah, go have fun.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. So I hit everybody. Playhouse was the last stop. We had did our whole rounds. Playhouse was the last stop. And I had that table and I called everybody. I was like, it's my birthday. Everybody said this. Nobody said no.
Right.
Everybody said we're pulling up. Yeah, we pulling up.
I don't remember if that was when AD got his horse teeth or not. I don't know. No, it was prior to his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I always clown AD's teeth. I always say he could eat corn on the cob probably better than any rapper ever.
He can chew ice.
He could do a lot with those teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think his teeth need their own podcast. He just launched his podcast.
Yeah.
AD's teeth
need their own.
They need their own podcast.
He could have been standing at that table with the fucking Nelk nigga.
With the Nelk boys.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Shout out to AD, man. That's my brother. I love that guy.
I love AD. I just met him the other day.
Yeah, he's the best.
Him, Simba, and Cass got
burned. Simba, I was just with Simba. Oh, yeah, you were with Cass in Pasadena.
Yep.
Yeah, Simba left my spot and then went over there. So, yeah, shout out to Simba. He's another Bay Area guy
who's
finally getting some love, man.
Yeah.
Been out for a long
time. I'd love to see it. He was out before me.
Yeah, he's
and deal before I even was in the industry. So I'm super happy to see him get his light and his love.
100%.
Yeah.
You mentioned moving to LA. I feel like there's people who move to LA and let this shit kind of like consume them, because there is some truth to like the stigma of like artists or YouTubers or TikTokers or whatever that come to LA and just the world that you could get wrapped up in and the things that you might, you know, that might carry more weight to you here because you're here that really don't matter.
Yeah.
Like, did you find like moving to LA, was there any sort of period of time where you felt, you know, like overwhelmed with this shit?
Boy, I feel kind of overwhelmed right now. It's like a constant state of being overwhelmed and adapting. It's how far you want to go. What level are you trying to adapt to for yourself, your own personal goals in your career and your mental happiness? But it's never going to stop until you become like a legacy act. But even then, these people, these artists have just built the infrastructure around them to deal with that constant like mental attack, because it's that forever. And the internet will solidify that shit, because when you're not dealing with the sauce to get lost in outside, you're dealing with it on your phone.
Yeah.
You're dealing with it in your email, on Zoom calls. You know what I'm saying? Like, the shit is forever. That's the job. So it's about how much you want to take. And like I said, it's some shit that I got to deal with currently. And until I figure it's like absolutely too much, then maybe I'll do that. But I have been thinking about just getting another spot somewhere to like clear myself of this LA shit, especially because when you live in LA, you still got to deal with being a transplant, because I'm not from here.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people from here, and I respect their rules and regulations of their game, how they play it. But like, you still got to be in this city and navigate such the thickness of the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because the world shut down. So you're trying to navigate in the same way that especially, you was when the world was open.
Well, and especially here.
Yeah.
It's really shut the fuck down.
It shut the fuck down. So it's like, damn.
Why am I even here?
I'm dealing with all of this shit just to like be here. I don't even need to be here right now.
Yeah. The homie, I got a homie who's a rapper, Mike Studd, and he just said, fuck it. And he went to Arizona for like 2 months, and now he's in Montana. He's just like, he's like, I had to get the fuck out of LA, man. Like, if there's a time to just take a break and unplug, it's like, while everything shut down.
Yeah. I go to the Bay tomorrow to shoot a short film connected to this album. It's going to be 4 episodes about my origin story, me growing up, like becoming when I first started scamming. Like, we got a little boy to play me as a kid. It's going to be like a whole crazy.
Like a movie.
Yeah, no, it's a short. It's like an actual.
Like a short thing. Film. Like a real.
Yeah. I just seen the email. I think we premiering that motherfucker on BET and hella shit. Like,
oh, shit.
It's like a whole, it's a thing. Like,
is 88 Rising handling the production and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Dope.
I'm going out there to seriously act. I got all my friends ready, and they've been doing.
Are they playing exercises. Themselves?
Uh-huh.
It's the only way to do it. We got to put the homies
come on. Come on, man. Got to put my niggas on.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've always wanted to do, so I'm happy that I can cross this off the bucket list for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, we always seriously wanted to tell our story, because I come from a crazy place and I'm a crazy nigga. So like, I always wanted to tell that, and this is a good time to at least tell like the general or like a good portion of that. Right after that, I fly instantly to Hawaii to shoot the last music video for this album, and then after that I'm just done. I'm doing press.
What island are you shooting in Hawaii?
I don't even know yet.
That's the hey, look, man, shoot all your videos in Hawaii.
I want to.
Stay out there. That shit's a vibe.
I haven't been to Hawaii since I was pimping. I went out there to pimp a couple years ago.
Well, wait a minute. Let's not gloss over the pimping. So you was actually pimping.
Mm-hmm. I'm from the Bay.
Well, I mean, I know that it's natural to the Bay. So how old are you?
28.
So you're 28. So you're pimping in an era. Because when I was a kid, we used to drive up and down the strip in Phoenix. There's a street called Van Buren.
Down the Blade, yeah.
And we used to like, bitches would be walking. There'd be pimps on every corner. And we would just like prank hookers.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like, you know, just fuck with hookers. Almost got killed a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, chased down by pimps. We're fucking throwing water balloons at hoes and shit. We're just doing dumb shit. We're like some fucking jackass shit.
Yeah.
But then that shit went away because Craigslist
and
the internet started popping.
Mm-hmm.
So was that was like your era of the pimp shit? Like, how did you get into pimping?
I mean, first of all, pimping got into me. I didn't get into pimping. The sauce really chose me, and that's just how it go, being back from the Bay. When you shining, you look good, you handsome, you not white, somebody gonna come pay you. Somebody, it's a bitch out there that want to pay you. She can't wait.
So did you have like a bottom bitch?
Yeah, I did.
That was like your main?
And she was solid too. Honestly, I just don't have the, I don't care. It's hard, I really don't care. And it was hard to go through the motions of pimping because you got to respect the game. And that's something not to be played with because it don't change. It's forever. Mm. Those rules are written in stone. And you got to respect that. And I knew that because I didn't want to come in disrespectful. But at the same time, I had to consider, like, do I care enough to respect it if I'm in it? And I don't because I'm a scammer. So, like, I don't want to call you if I just knocked your bitch and she paid me the fee. And now she want to come up under me. I don't care to call you and respect the game.
Mm.
Like, if I'm looking at
how long did that last? Like, how long was that era of?
A couple years. I was on and off with it. I never was like all the way down, stomped down in the mud.
So would you have like, you know, just bitches posted up at hotels with the online ads booming? Like,
mm-hmm.
That's really what it was?
Mm-hmm. And then Backpage got shut down. I pivoted after that in I just started having the bitches running to the stores. I was tired of this shit. Trix is dirty. And the way that hoes like to live in the Bay is just too... It's just... It exposed me to too many people I don't like to be around. And I'm a super social nigga. I love company. Right, you should see my house now. But it just was like...
I saw a picture of your bedroom on your IG. It looks stellar. Stellar bedroom.
Thank you. Thank you. I just got a new rug today. Look, I'll show you a pic.
I feel like anybody you pick up at the... is it called the Above the Clouds Festival?
Head in the Clouds.
Head in the Clouds. Like any of those lovely young Asian women would walk into your room and be like, oh my God, this is it.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Oh, that's fire. That's a rug?
Mm-hmm.
That's fire.
It's huge, too. It's about here to here.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Scam boy. Yeah. That's good. That's in the bedroom?
Uh-huh. I'm trying to figure out a place to put it on the floor.
When you were pimping, what was like your stable, like the most amount of women at one time that
three.
Were up? Three. That's good.
I was foot in, foot out. It wasn't
help like, me understand. Well, help me understand this, because I don't think people truly understand like the business model of pimping, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is your purpose in the girl besides taking her money?
No, I mean it's more than purpose. It's everything. I'm everything. I not only am I the purpose, I'm also the consequence. I'm the cause and the effect. I'm the alpha and omega in this situation. Like, I'm your daddy, your boyfriend, your manager. Your day-to-day, everything. I'm everything.
And so just, any services that they need, they could hit you like, yo, this Trick's not, he's not paying, or I fucking caught gonorrhea, and I need to go get the shot.
Yeah.
I need you to take me to a clinic or pay for this shit.
Man, I wasn't fucking with no dirty hoes.
I mean, shit, in the I'm assuming that there's, even if a girl's clean, there's a chance that could happen in that field.
I mean, but the thing is, what a lot of people don't really know is, A lot of like the bitches that's really in the game is some of the cleanest, safest women, humans.
I've heard that. Zero experience, but I've heard
and you
that.
You gotta think, who has chlamydia? Like, rappers have chlamydia. Niggas like me in a club got chlamydia that just been fucking thousands of hoes.
Facts.
Not like the Indian nigga on Craigslist, not the fucking Mexican dude in
not the
back of his
not
mama.
The dentist. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have gonorrhea. That's who paying for pussy.
Right. It's not like these girls are fucking like random dudes at Playhouse.
And
like,
it's not like they're homeless, like fucking other homeless people.
Right.
The
they're
streets.
Not in fucking, you know, they're not downtown LA taking shits on the side of the street.
Yeah. Like, that's what
and then turning tricks out of fucking tents.
That's what people think.
right.
When they think of that. But like, they not putting no respect on the sex workers' existence. Because they look at the occupation as something that is so beneath them personally and their values. They choose to demonize how their perception of that person, and they project that on the other people to where it's become almost like a standard of how we think about women.
Even
mistresses of.
Even strippers get bad raps. Yeah. Like, there's like a negative stigma, and it's like, for what?
And they're the richest bitches out.
Facts.
Steal.
Don't gotta fuck.
Steal.
They're at house parties right now.
Yeah.
In the hills.
it's not stopping with them.
I was going to say, now OnlyFans seems to be like the...
Yeah.
Tyga low-key. Tyga, you might say Tyga's pimping right now on OnlyFans.
Because...
Lightweight.
Because we both are legitimate black males, I don't want to openly...
Well, he's managing some OnlyFans girls. We'll call it managing, right?
Tyga.
Right. He's managing.
Tyga is in the business of... working very closely with sex work.
True. And even at times being a sex worker himself, because I've accidentally seen his dick on Twitter before.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy about it.
I wasn't happy either.
I wasn't.
It's always the worst when you accidentally see a dick on your Twitter timeline.
It was Wednesday too. I remember it was Wednesday. I was eating Chipotle. I still haven't went back to Chipotle. Because
you think of Tyga's dick.
It's terrible.
I saw Trey Song's dick today on accident.
I've purposely avoided it. I muted the word Trey Songz.
Oh, you
because
muted?
I didn't want
to. You gotta show me how to do that. Yeah.
It's in the settings on Twitter.
Oh man, are you ever worried about some shit like that leaking to you? Do you have like
all the time?
Are you worried about it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think any day now, some shit might hit the internet. Especially if they got Trey he's been at it for years.
Yo, OG.
If they got him, I don't stand a fucking chance.
Would you ever dabble in the OnlyFans shit?
I made an OnlyFans, and I currently have a few subscribers. I just haven't posted content yet because I'm trying to work on how I want to approach it.
Because you could just post fan shit on there.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think I want to do a plethora of everything. Like, if it's some genuine hoes out there, or shit, anybody, it's OnlyFans, I can't keep track of who's buying the shit.
But right.
Somebody want to get a dick pic for like $200 or something, I might post it in the DMs or some shit later on down the line.
Hey, if someone wants to pay you $200 for a dick pic, then I would definitely.
I've actually been paid more than that before.
You've been before. Paid for a, hey, you ever been paid for a dick pic, Jesse? No.
Feet pic.
Same.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier. You probably have nice feet. You got nice hands. Pause. Mm-hmm. Super pause.
It's gay to say pause.
Is it?
Yeah. It's gay to say pause and no homo. It's super gay.
Is it super gay?
Yeah.
So don't say those.
Nuh-uh.
Okay.
Just let it rock.
Just let it rock.
Because otherwise, like, why'd you bring it up?
That's fair.
If we start talking about narcotics and doing illegal shit, right? And I kept saying, hey, no police shit. But when you were selling crack, well, like, where did you? You know what I'm saying? No police shit, though.
Yeah, like
no police shit.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm the police. What the fuck?
Right.
So you keep saying no homo and pause, like, you're gay.
Well, I had to stop. I had to stop saying no homo. I feel like it didn't age as well.
No,
I'm a big Dipset guy.
Yeah,
love Cam. Love that whole just era of hip hop. And no homo was kind of like,
yeah. I feel like we got attached to that though, because shout out to Cameron. As Cameron Lil Bruh, somebody who often likes to, I'm in a similar vein of fashion.
Fashion, yeah. You guys
know what I'm saying?
Got, yes.
He do a lot, and he inspire a lot for me. I don't even feel like he'd say that shit right now.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true.
I think I could see him saying pause, but no homo.
I think he might let that thing ride still.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know. I he's one of my bucket list interviews. He's one of the guys I've never interviewed that's like, yeah. There's like four or five, and Cam's one of them.
I'm calling it now because my art interview was first. You have to bring me up in your interview with Cameron.
Okay. How would you like me to bring you up?
However you see fit.
I'll just bring you to the interview.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll do the prank. When you interview Cameron, I'll do the prank.
See, I'm afraid of Cameron, though.
I'm not.
I feel like Cam is still...
That nigga, yeah, I feel like,
yeah.
But you can't go in there with fear in your heart. He a pit bull. He goes from Harlem. He gonna smell it.
I don't know if I prank Cam though, because I want to interview him like a bunch of times.
Yeah,
you and I are like boys. I don't know Cameron, so I might only have one shot to make a good impression
you
with
right,
Killer Cam.
Right.
You know
I don't
want to
ruin your Killer Cam experience.
Now, if it was like, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody else. Whoever the fuck, Freddie Gibbs, somebody who's like my boy, like, hey, we can prank him all day. But Cameron, I'm like, I was a childhood guy, you know, he's one of my guys, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. Hey, what, so take me back to the, you know, obviously you had the viral situation with Russ that went down.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated to see that because I'm cool with Russ and I'm cool with you. And I feel like you're one of the most brightest energies in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't, and I wasn't privy to whatever had been said prior, but I was just like, yo, you're like, who fucking hates you?
No, I mean, just him.
Right. So I don't know what happened. Like, was there some sort of like remarks made that like led up to that? Because
yeah, I mentioned him in a song and he didn't like it. And it took a while because I was so mad at the fact that not only did I, in my mind, not diss him. I never was trying to diss him, but I told him about it. I DM'd him beforehand. Song comes out. He leaves me on red, and then the first time I see him, I don't even really know him or how he looks or nothing. I turn around. It's 20 motherfucking niggas after he snaked me, and I just thought that was wild. As like a nigga as rich as he is. With his network and ability,
right,
he could have came at me different, especially since he knew. Like, it's no way you plan that, because he was the headliner of that festival, and he planned to see me and have me jump, because he was there early. I was one of the openers.
Right.
Me and Smino was just going. We was midday. I wasn't open. We was midday, but still, it wasn't the headliner. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he could have went about that way different, but he didn't, and he chose that route. But at the same time, you know, as a grown-ass man, I did speak on him.
Yeah, you know.
He did look at it as I spoke on him, and I...
He always says, like, you can't tell me how to react to mm-hmm. And I think at that time, everyone was just... It was like... He was getting a lot of...
I wasn't trying to down him. I followed him on Twitter, and I thought that Russ's... And I still do. I think it's really interesting how some people could have so much, garner so much success in the industry and how they navigate, but still not be accepted by the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But they are clearly eating from it and feeding some things to it.
Right.
So that's what the bar was about. But he took it as disrespect and responded accordingly. I can't be mad at how he feel about it.
Right.
I'm obviously not happy with the outcome.
Right.
I mean,
but your intention was not malicious with the mention.
Yeah, I don't even know him.
Right.
Not finna outright diss nobody.
Was there ever any correspondence with you guys after that, or is it just kind of what it is? What it is. Keep it moving.
Yeah, it's over. It was never no correspondence about nothing.
I think that, you know, like I said, you're.
There could have been, but
you were such a dope energy and figure.
Yeah.
And I feel like on his side too, like I feel like he gives so much free game to artists and he puts out so much dope quality music. I just think I think that window when everyone was coming at Russ, I just think he probably just made notes of like, okay, if
he probably, he was trying to be on his hitman shit. It's just really unfortunate because in a perfect world,
you guys could have made some fire music together or something.
Because I know he's friends with Jid, but Jid know he can't be in the room with Russ around me.
You guys have mutual people. It's unfortunate. I mean, I think hopefully one day, you know, you guys.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't even look at it as unfortunate. It just happened.
So yeah, it's like it is what it is. And,
you know,
if you guys ever have some correspondence in the future, cool. If not, it is what it is.
From that, I had some correspondence with Benny the Butcher that I'm happy we was able to hash out, because I've become a fan of him and what Griselda is doing as of recent. And that's tight.
So from what happened with Russ, you mm-hmm. got in contact with Benny? What explain?
Because me and Benny had, like Twitter knows, we had like a small altercation after the Dreamville shit, and we was not cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we was not cool, and then the Russ shit happened, and he was, you know,
he was going on tour with Russ, yeah.
And he had said something, and I just reached out. I was able to get his number from somebody else, and made it happen, connected with him, and we had a talk as grown-ass men.
That's good.
Respect.
Yeah, Benny and Griselda, it's my fate, like, between what they're doing and what Fred's been doing the last couple of years, it's like, to me, like, the best rap
shit. Oh, I'd love it.
In the world.
Yeah, I love it.
I feel like the pandemic made people, like in 2020, people were listening to music differently because mm-hmm. they weren't at the fucking club. They weren't standing on couches. They were like listening in their headphones or at home or in the car. They were just listening differently. Right. So I feel like
that's the only reason why I still exist. It's the only reason why I'm seeing success now, honestly, is because the pandemic forced everybody to actually listen to me rap.
Right.
Because everybody was looking for what my gimmick record was going to be when I was super viral, mm-hmm. when the Drake shit was happening. Now Cole, like, what's his fucking, he just finna have one and be out of there. But they was going to attach that to some type of gimmick. That shit was not going to work.
Right.
They had to pull back, accept that these people still fuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like boom ganging myself, who's actually doing really well. I just watched his, followed him on YouTube. He's like turning his shit around.
Good for him, right?
But like I obviously wasn't that.
Right.
And people got to sit down and listen to my shit
and be like, oh shit,
this nigga is right. Cause I'm black belt at this point, just right. like trying to now compete against other dojos and still get better. But it's no more like drills with me right now.
Well, when's the album coming out?
March.
It's coming out in March.
Yeah, March 19th.
Assuming we're gonna get the movie after the album.
Yeah, right after.
Cause that's gotta be, I mean, a lot of editing, and
yeah.
we're talking about a fucking movie.
Yeah,
even if it's like a 10-minute movie, it's you know, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Single comes out next Friday.
Yeah, on the 12th.
That's the one with the Better Off Alone sample, right?
Yeah,
that shit's fire.
It's called How Many.
Love that record. Yeah, Sam played me a few joints. He played me one that P-Lo produced that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
He played me one that I hated. It was
Which
like
one
a,
was that?
The booty one or some fucking booty shit. I don't know.
Oh, he played your demos?
Probably.
That's not on the album.
He played me the P-Lo record, and I was like, I like this record a lot. It's some regional shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what about this one? And then he played this like booty shit, and I was like, I'm telling you this. I was like, yo, don't let him put that song out.
You hate
it. I said, that shit is not it.
Yeah.
Then he played the single, and I was like, this shit is it.
Yeah. He had to, that nigga was going through the drafts, and then he found a miss. He played a miss, so he had to hit you with the cream of the crop.
That shit is hard. I was like,
he had to hit you with the cream of the crop.
I was like, this should be your biggest record.
Yeah.
Great record, man.
No, I feel like it's going to be the biggest record of my career, and I'll show you the music video after this. We could watch it.
Crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Fire. Are you working with any of the 88 Rising guys on the album at all? Like,
no. I have reached out to Brian to get him on something.
I see him everywhere in North Hollywood. Every time I'm at the grocery store, like shopping for Halloween costumes, he's just there. Like, he's at Whole Foods every day, I think.
He said that he was working on some stuff and he wasn't really recording.
Would have no idea that he's popping either if you ran into him in person. He just looks like a high school kid.
Yeah, really, for sure. he's such a genuine. I love Brian. He's such a genuine dude. He just like what he like.
Yeah,
he's super passionate about it, and like that's it.
What about Joji? He seems like a very eclectic individual. Very interesting cat.
I never met the nigga. I don't know him.
Yo, you haven't met him?
Nuh-uh. I only know people that know him. Like I'm hella cool with August, and he's on 88 Rising. He's super talented, and I know he hella fucks with Joji and shit. Same thing with Brian, but I don't know him like that. I'm a fan of his shit, though.
Yeah, his shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shit, man.
There was a song that we both was on, but we never met.
But you haven't linked with him.
Mm-mm.
Album's coming out in March.
Mm-hmm.
17 what?
19.
Wait. What's the album name? What's the number?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the date.
No. Well, you just gave away the date. March 19th, the album's coming out.
Yeah.
No, but the name of the album.
1176. Yeah.
Boom. Go get that. And thanks for the interview, man.
Thank you for having me.
It was a long journey today. We started with a prank and then we ended up having a crazy interview.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Super tight.
Perfect.
I wanted to give you a good interview either way. You see, I was complaining the blood about
it. You're like, bro, I'm trying to do some shit over here. Perfect.
God.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.